So this is week one. We're actually are in a new location, in case you haven't realized. God always has us in transition as we're being transformed. So there's always a process in our life that we're going through. And if we don't like process, it's going to be difficult for us to endure, because this is definitely a process. And it's not that you have to like the process. No one said you had to like it. But nevertheless, you submit to it because you know that it's good for you. You know that in the end, that hopefully it's working something greater than you can see, and that you're actually going to be better for it in the end. That's the process. You know, when you do something that's hard, you don't necessarily like it, but in the end, there's something about the result that you're pleased with, because you pushed your body or you pushed yourself past your own limitations of what you thought you can do. Many of you in here are byproducts of that. And God will be sure to push you. He does not let you stay the same. You can't ride training wheels the rest of your life. It's ridiculous when, if picture it in your mind, and this is what happens in the body, grown adults riding bikes with training wheels. And God has gone to great lengths to kick those training wheels off for a lot of you, especially over the last few years, but really to take the training wheels off the world. He's looking for people to grow up in all things. Grow up into maturity. The time for playing games is over. Not that we don't like having fun, but there's a seriousness about the gospel. There's a seriousness about God's plan and purpose and what he's called his body to do. And you can't live very long and walk very long with him without getting a sense of the weight of that. You can't. And if we don't feel the weight of that, we'll never push in far enough to ask God, what is my part in it? Because he didn't die so that you can go halfway and fall short at the end and not go into all that God has called you to go into. That's not who God is. It's just not. So when we put signs up on the wall like we are part of something bigger, it's there so you can see it visually, so that when you're having a day, that your perspective can remain on something bigger than what you're going through now. Because if you can't remain focused on something that's bigger than what you're going through now, you will die in your suffering. You will die in it, because it's easier to die in it than to overcome it. I'm going to say it again. It's easier sometimes to die in it than to overcome. Jesus overcame. You can overcome. Not by your own strength and your own power, but by his power. And that's the difficult part. Because we often want to use our own might and our own strength to win and overcome, because we got to show it. But Jesus already showed it. You can't do anything to show him up. He showed up and showed it. So now he's asking you to walk with him during the difficult time to be strengthened so you can overcome. How many are you overcoming? You're overcoming by the blood and the word of your testimony. And the word of your testimony is personal to you because of what God is doing through you and in you. Is personal. You can't measure it by my walk, nor do you want to. And I can't measure it by your walk, because the grace is sufficient for you. It's not sufficient for me. Your walk, that grace is not sufficient for me. It's sufficient for you. Your capacity, and God knows what your capacity is sufficient for you. And God will continue to stretch that capacity to hold more. It's the reason why God doesn't let you get settled in seasons. That's why they change. Because people will die in seasons that God's never called them to die in. They were just transitional pieces. That trial was just for a season, but we get locked into the despair of it. And because we get locked into the despair of it, we never see past it to know that on the other side, there's actually victory and joy, because that's why it's there. It's there to test you and prove you. Not so you get stuck in it. And I'm concerned that people get stuck in places, and that maybe some of you are stuck in places that too long, just too long. I'm all for the proving process. I'm all for the pruning process, but I'm all for getting past certain things so that you can actually start living in victory. God separated and plucked you out of some of that stuff so that he could do something new with you. And we talk about that repeatedly, because that's a lot of what we do here to help push people past that, because many people are living in fields of grace that have long been gone. You ever notice that if you're in a place, and many of you maybe have gone through this process and God has delivered you from something, when you've gone back into that original place, it's almost repulsive to you because of, I can't believe I was there. And God shows you his grace and how he took you out. And that's what God does. He gives you a taste for new things. Taste and see the Lord is good. Taste. What are you tasting right now? And some people are tasting defeat. They're walking in defeat because of what they're going through. I'm going to tell you that you can be going through struggle, but you can be winning. You can be winning. There was a time in my life, and I told you, where God really pressed into me and said, hey, bud, I've called you to win. It doesn't mean there's not going to be struggle. And we have to be okay with that process to get there. Winning is sweeter after the struggle. God doesn't just give it to you. And I know we like to preach that, or people like to preach that. God's for you. He's not against you. And God has a plan for your life. Just claim it and name it and walk in victory. But when you get up and you're getting beat and your emotions are all over the place and the enemy is tearing at your root system and you're wanting to kill yourself, it's a little bit different than, I thought God loved me and I had victory, brother. That's what you told me on Sunday. But nobody tells you about the walk. Walk in it. What's next? Keep walking. People they're always looking for, what's the next angle? What's the next big one? What's the next breakthrough moment? It's coming. Do you know when it comes? When you keep walking. And sometimes blindly. Because God will show you at different times the things that you need to know. And Misty and I talk about this every so often. You're on a need-to-know basis. I did not know we were coming into this building until about 2 days before we came into this building. Some of y'all are like, well, what has God given you, man? He's given you the vision. Yeah, there's vision. He had to show me what's next, though, yet. Every day people ask me, I'm like, nah, I'm just believing God. He's going to show me, though. He keeps telling me to hold on. So I'm going to hold on. And you know how it gets. People start getting antsy. Well, what does that look like, Rich? What are you doing? I'm not God, one. And two, God knows what's up. And so when God in my spirit is telling me, I need you to hold on and stop putting, listen, the plan in your head that you have, I appreciate that, but that's not what it is. I need you to hold on. I'm like, all right. And so there was a time a couple weeks ago, I said, that's it. I'm laying it down. 2 days before I got a call. Hey, this is what God's been doing behind the scenes. I didn't know about it. But I knew in my spirit God was up to something. And if you could walk like that, God said, you can walk into the promised land. Because if I have to tell you every time, you won't trust me. And then you'll lean on your own understanding and you'll fall short. And you'll actually settle for less than what I have because you are trying to do it in your own strength and not mine. But once you start doing it mine, you'll begin to fly and you'll begin to see like I see and you'll begin to take down some giants and you'll look back and say, oh, that was small. And that's the issue a lot of times with God. God often pokes you to think bigger, not smaller. And you're trying to control it. And for the math people, you're trying to computate it and you're trying to make sure it makes sense. 1 + 1 in God's world does not equal 2. It just doesn't. God's in the multiplicity, and he does things a little bit different. He'll take 5 loaves and 2 fish. We got 4,000 or 5,000 people, and that's how we'll do it. And he said, you go feed them. I bless it. You go feed them. God doesn't do things the way you think he's going to do them, and that's why sometimes you can't look at your checkbook. Oftentimes, you look at it and be like, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't have to make sense. You just have to keep walking in it because you're supposed to walk differently than the world walks. You don't walk by sight. You walk by faith. God, I believe you're going to multiply it. And if I have to be creative, I might have to be creative, but I believe there's a season. And honestly, and just to be a little forthcoming, most of the time in my seasons, it's never all there. And y'all can say, well, I don't know what you're doing, brother. It's never all there. Why? I'm constantly reaching in faith and asking God, Lord, show me what you're doing. God never has let me get settled, especially when it comes to my faith and my finances. Never. When I think I have it unlocked, God always kicks it and says, keep stretching and keep going. I don't want you to get settled on what's mine. I want you to be open to the possibility of better. And the only way that happens is that if you release what's there and give it back to God. And that's not just with your money. That's with your emotions. That's with your life. If this is a great exchange and it's not about your life, but it's about the life that he gave, and now he says, I want you to give your life over to me, we have to be okay with the fact that there are going to be some things that God is going to ask you to do that are not going to make sense. Like give up your building. Because there is something I'm trying to do on a larger scale. Because what we do sometimes is that we look at the scale of stuff and we look at things when it comes to the value of it and the comfort. It was comfortable. It was convenient. But could that also be a problem? And so what God does is that he allows the nest to be stirred, and the nest here is your spirit. Flip 2023 as we worked in, immediately I knew God said, this is it this year, man. This is it. I'm changing some stuff up. Because God knew what was coming later. And here we are almost in December. God knew what was coming later. And if I look back, I can look at timelines and say, well, why didn't you do it there? I felt it here. I said, because that wasn't my time. It doesn't matter what you thought. I could have looked back, and in my natural mind, it would have said, April, we're out. And somebody asked me, I said, I don't have a release yet. It don't make sense. But now, I have a release. Sometimes it's a matter of waiting. And many times what you do is that you wait for God. You do more waiting than receiving. But as we're waiting, we're acting what God's called us to do, and we keep walking. And so why am I talking about this tonight? Because I believe it's important that you realize that TCC is going somewhere. God's in the mix. This church has never been normal. This never has. So when people talk about normal, I don't even know what that is. In fact, when I see normal, it's like, ooh. Because what we look at normal is not normal. God looks at it very different. What's supposed to be normal is our faith walk. And God will ask us to do things that don't make sense. And oftentimes they don't make sense because God wants you to exercise your faith. Because if you can do it yourself, why do you need him? Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aid, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all those people, get ready. Everybody say, get ready. To cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Again, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Again, he says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Verse 10, so Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross to Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. If you're looking for a title, it's get ready. Get ready. Well, I can't see it exactly. Get ready. You're about to cross to Jordan. You're not in it yet. You're about to cross to Jordan. That was the pathway in order to get into the promised land. There are things that God has allowed you to come up against so that you can rely upon him and how you're going to get through. Because for what God has called this body to do and what God has called you to do, it's impossible for you to do in your own strength. But I felt like God said, you need to start telling the people to get ready, to gather their stuff, and to get ready because you're about to cross into what I called you to cross into. This is a transitional piece into the land. So if you can picture it, people running everywhere, getting their pots and pans, getting their pictures, getting everything together, tell them, brush your teeth, get a haircut, get things ready, take care of yourself because you're about to go into the land. You know, when you're about to go into something new, you get ready for it. That's what you do. New seasons give you new opportunity to correct some of the stuff you wanted to do better in the other season, but also they give you a little bit of a taste of God's promotion. Now, I'm just here to tell you tonight, God's proud of you. He's proud of you. The enemy's pissed. Just pissed. But God's proud of you because you decided to stand up against it and say, yeah, and continue to say, yeah. That's the one thing about the body that God loves. He loves the body that takes on a fight and doesn't run from it. And that's why I believe that this body has gotten to the place of where it's at now, because people have taken on fights and outrun from them. And because they've taken them on, God has helped them, give them the victory and overcome it so they can move on and get ready. You got to be tested before you go into the land. There's no way that you can go into the land ready to fight when you haven't been tested. You got no wings. There's nothing been built. There's no tenacity. And God's going to put you up. It's like Glass Joe. Remember Mike Tyson's punch out? The first guy was Glass Joe. You beat that guy in like 27 seconds. He got nothing. And then when you beat him, he moved on. And eventually you got to Tyson. But Tyson punched you out twice and you were done. There was no way you can get back up. You remember that. You don't go straight to Tyson. You got to go through Glass Joe. Eventually, you got to go through Soda Popinski. All those guys until you get to Tyson. And God does it the same way with you. Eventually, you're going to have to learn to beat COVID. You're going to have to learn to stand in faith when nobody else is standing in faith. You're going to have to learn to do it when no one else is doing it. You're going to have to learn to confess faith when fear is all up in your business. You're going to have to learn to confess life when you want to die. You're going to have to learn to keep walking when you don't want to walk. You're going to have to learn how to face rejection and do it anyway. You're going to have to learn to put in the work when everybody else is not putting in the work and just trying to get by. You're going to have to learn how to do that stuff because that's all training for the next level. That's promised land work. That's promised land work. He doesn't just give it to you. You got to learn how to farm. You got to learn how to plant. You got to learn how to build. You got to learn how to do it when five people come. You got to learn how to do it when no one comes. You got to learn how to do it when you don't want to do it. You got to preach when no one else is preaching. You got to do the work when you're hurt. All that stuff is promised land stuff, not wilderness stuff. It's just, you all think the wilderness is just about, well, God's doing this. No, he's training you. So when you get the promised land, the stuff you learn there, you take right in. That's where you learn to fight. That's where you learn to tell the devil off. That's where you learn to do it. And so when you go on the promised land, when the enemy comes in, oh, I've already seen someone like you before. God always lets you see a glimpse of the giants before you see them. Always. All the stuff you've been going through has just been training so that you learn how to beat the big one when it's coming in. Because even when it comes in, it's going to be nothing to you. Yes. God already said no one's going to stand against you the rest of your life. I believe it. He told me that already. No one's going to do it. Yes. I already know. Same for you. But you got to go through the training. I want to fight somebody at the front line. Can you hold a sword? No. I'm more of a pacifist. It's not just the DNA of this house. It's the DNA of the kingdom. That's right. Kingdom business is to take ground, not to lose it. Yes. It's never been to losing ground. It's God's will. And eventually, we step back. It's not God's business, but for some reason, the body at large has bought into, well, I guess that's just the way it is. Is it? Because the God I serve and the Spirit of God who lives inside of me says otherwise. Yes. I've given you the keys. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. You are a problem for the enemy. I just need you to see it. I can remember probably about a year and a half, 2 years ago, where I remember just the Lord dealing with me on certain things and bringing things to my remembrance. Do you honestly think that the fight that you've been in is normal? I said, no. That's why I have a problem with that. It's showing you the level of promotion that's coming into your life. And I recognize that because it was not normal. And not just for me, but I recognize it for the body. It's not normal. And I've said to Misty a few times, like, it's not normal. It's not. It's just not. It's because of what God wants to bring into the body. This body is not for just this body. This body is called to the body at large, who is in need of revival. And if you can look at it from that perspective, it'll change the way you see what you've been going through in your life. It's not just about you. There are people who need the Jesus inside of you. There are people who need to know that there is actually a God who's fighting for them. But if you've never been fought for and you don't see that, it's going to be hard for you to extend that to other people. I get it. Some of y'all, no one reached out to you when you were hurt and you were young, but God did that on purpose. You're trying to figure out, well, no one reached out. This is good. It taught you to lean on Jesus and not to wait for people to come affirm you. Get your butt up, get with Jesus, and move on. And the Lord will purposely keep people away just so you turn your eyes toward heaven and say, oh, there you are. There's where my help comes from. The maker of heaven and earth. He's the Lord. That's the one, not anybody else. And until you get there, God said, we're going to keep going around this thing. Keep going around the wilderness until all the complaining and all the stuff that you're doing, why are they coming? Why aren't they blessing me? It's not that they don't want to. I'm just not letting them. Because I need some things in you to die first, because you're so tied into the methodology of people and who likes you, who doesn't like you, that even if I said do something that was the antithesis of your belief system, you would struggle with it because you're so fearful of man that I can't bless you the way I want to bless you, because you'll always acquiesce to what people want. And when you always acquiesce to people want, you're going to walk in bondage the rest of your life. And until you can let me break you free from that, you'll never get what I've called you to get. Because in my kingdom, you don't fear man. You fear me. That's my kingdom, man. That's my kingdom. There's no fear in me. There's no fear in love. So when we can get there, we can start making progress. Then I'll release some stuff into your life. But until then, I'm keeping them all out. Until you can get there, you're going to struggle with your relationship with the Lord. Because until people don't become gods, and Jesus becomes who he wants to become, you're going to struggle. The wilderness was a testing ground so that all their gods could die. Remember what they came from. Egypt. How to work that out of their system. There's some things that God is still working out of your system. Some of y'all, years ago, God's still working it out. And every time it pops up and you sense some freedom, there's still some of that residue in there. God, I'm still squeezing it out. Still, some of y'all, I've never, and honestly, in all my years, I've never seen sickness like this linger. I've never seen it. That's why I know it's something not normal going on. It's not normal. It's just stuff that's just sitting on people. Just holding people. Not letting people go. But God's so faithful in it, God's just squeezing people out of it and just getting people where they need to go. And God will let it linger just so stuff works. And if you don't think God will let things sit until it works and it needs to work what it needs to work, we're missing out. We're missing out. God will let stuff sit in your life and you'll suffer long enough until things break and until things are broken off your life. And God will use whatever he has to use. Sometimes it's sickness. Sometimes it's financial lack. It doesn't matter what it is. All that stuff, God will let you butt up against it so that that stuff and what you believe in begins to die so that Jesus becomes center. That's what we're trying to get to. Back to center. Back to Jesus. Hardest thing we have to do, right? Hardest thing, because it's easy once you start off with it and you can ride the rest of your life with it, but that's not life. In the midst of it, the enemy's throwing all these smoke screens and distractions and trying to get you to doubt, and that's all part of the process you're in right now, a lot of you. A lot of you all in it. Is he going to come through? He will. You got to keep living. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be on what's next. First week is me. Keep walking. It's not going to get better until you break in certain areas and certain things die. That's the truth. I'm just waiting for it to break. God's waiting for you. So this is what happens. We do this. One thing, right? Lord, waiting for it to break. Just keep doing this. Keep walking around. Same thing the whole time. If you will just turn your eyes toward heaven and allow the Lord to get in it, it will begin to change. And the one thing I know about God is that God is very persistent on you learning. And it's difficult with God because God is such a teacher and such a perfecter that you will get it real good so that you won't go back to it again. Do you understand what I said? Let's just be honest. Some of your parents were awful disciplinarians. Awful. Just didn't do a real good job. I remember with my parents, my dad said, "You're grounded." Later on, come in the room. "What's up, guys?" "Your mom, you know, she wanted me to ground." You know, it was awful. Awful. He didn't want to do it, right? Because he wanted to be around the kids. You know, he wanted to be around, just make sure everything's good. Didn't want to do it a lot. I can remember probably like in my life, three times maybe I got hit. Three. And then and one of them was harder than others, but I'm like, the other times were like, okay. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Just think about it. I know some of y'all are like, every day I got whacked. Some of y'all in here are like the other side of the room. She's still here. And matter of fact, God's working out under me now. That's why it's taking so long. Because I'm trying, the love of God, I still love you. I love you. I know what you went through. I know. So you have to work through even that process. Just like, what does discipline look like? Because some of us look at it in a very different light. We don't like it. The Bible talks about don't despise the discipline of the Lord. Don't despise it. Because if he loves us, he's going to chasten us. But what we do sometimes is that we put God and our parents in the same picture frame. And so, well, if discipline's like that, that was abusive. So I don't want anything to do with that. And so we can translate discipline from God as abuse. Like, man, why you keep on me about this, man? Don't you have anything else to do? I've had conversations with God. Don't you have anything else to do than keep pressing on this thing, man? Yeah, I'm trying to get some stuff out of you. I talk to him about stuff. Y'all need to do that, okay? That'll help you. I'm telling you, you need a release valve. Just getting in there. What you doing? I'm just trying to squeeze stuff out. Stuff that you didn't get growing up. You never learned it. So sometimes in life later, you learn stuff that you probably should have learned younger, but you didn't. But God's faithful, and he'll teach you. Because he wants you to get better and continue to walk. That's how faithful and how good God is. So why are we in this season? It's because God wants us here. Yeah. You know, this is not a town hall meeting where it's like, "Hey, I have a question. What's going on with the irrigation on 48th? I don't know, okay? All I know what God is doing is God is doing some irrigation of his own and getting some total body work. Spirit, soul, and body, because of what he's doing at large in the body. Again, I'm going to tell you about large in the body. This church was never called to be a corner church. It never was from the first meeting. It's still not now. It keeps pushing out. And God keeps saying, it's bigger, man. Just keep holding on. And so he's been faithful in every season and every transition. And I'm just going to encourage you to keep walking. Because what you can't say is that you have not learned to walk by faith more in this house than in other places. And that's where God wants the body, so that when you come up against maybe different people with different perspectives, you can help them see a little bit differently than maybe how they see. Because God wants people to walk in freedom. But we can't help people walk in freedom if we're not free. And so how can you do that? So you're trying to help people push, but if you don't push, there's no credibility. So you have a story, and there'll come a time where your story will be told. But you got to go through the process to be able to do that. Empowered broke ground with a lot of women. And I believe that God wants to do some bigger things with Empowered, because every one of the women who are involved in there have been transformed in one way or another, to the point where people have asked, are they professional speakers? I'm like, nah, they just been through stuff. But that's what God wants to do, to use you as a mouthpiece to people who need it. People are hiding in stuff, and God sees. And he wants to use you to help pull them out of stuff. But you got to be okay with being out. Yep. Yep. You can't be like, I'm just comfortable. I love hibernation. That doesn't work in the body. You got to be comfortable being out. And it's the one thing I want to encourage you in the next season. Stay out. Stay out of hiding. How does that work? Lord, keep me free. Because if you don't, you'll have a tendency to want to bury your head back in the sand and walk back in condemnation, back in despair, which is not God's plan for you at all. You're called to change the climate. That's right. You are not called to come back downward and acquiesce to people at home. He's not called you to do in your workspace. So especially in the body, be the body. Yes. Be infectious. Be contagious. Your freedom is contagious. Your joy is contagious. Your faith is contagious. Do it. Do it. Be free. Be you. The raw you. You. You're you. You know you. Just be you, because people need to see that. When God called Joshua and them going to the promised land, they were not perfect people. These people were broken, and God was doing a work in their heart, still in process as they went into the promised land. They didn't have it all together. God said, but we're going to go together. And by the way, when you go on the land, there's going to be some enemies that are there, and I'm going to tell you how to defeat them. And each time he showed them. Same thing. It's going to show you each time how to defeat it, because God has called you to possess things that you have not seen before. And I'm telling you, you haven't seen it, because the Spirit of God is stretching and expanding so that you can hold things that have not been seen in this lifetime. This, I'm telling you now, by the Spirit of God, in this lifetime, God has said, I'm doing something. No eye has seen this. Has not. So that's why there's so much coming against the body. Because God is doing something that has not been seen before. So if you can see it with eyes of faith, you'll continue to walk. That's my challenge to you. Continue to walk. I'm going to encourage you. Take care of yourself physically. Yes. How is God going to use you if you crumble every time? Yeah. Yeah. Something comes against you. Every time. God wants you. Every time something comes against you, you crumble because I just don't feel well. Cut it out. Yeah. I'm telling you to cut it out right now. And I think God, by the Spirit, is saying, that's it. Yeah. It's time to cut some stuff out. It's time to do it. No excuses. Y'all have the gifts of the Spirit inside of you. Holy Spirit lives inside of you. He is roaring. The promised land is right there.